Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sanskrit is a little bit too long to do the verse, and also to say the verse word after word. So I'm going to start reading the verse first, and also because the verse itself is quite long, so if everybody can listen carefully, so then I'll ask later the essence of the verse. Okay, anybody can repeat the essence of the verse because the verse is also very long. And the whole purpose is very long, so. Sorry. Okay. So, after performing the preliminaries of various sacrifices, Maharaj Bharat offered the results in the name of religion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev. In other words, he performed all the yajñas for the satisfaction of Lord Vasudev Krishna. Maharaj Bharat thought that since the demigods were different parts of Vasudev's body, he controls those who are explained in the Vedic mantras. By thinking in this way, Maharaj Bharat was freed from all material contamination, such as attachment, lust, and greed. When the priests were about to offer the sacrificial ingredients into the fire, Maharaj Bharat expertly understood how the offering made to different demigods was simply an offering to the different limbs of the Lord. For instance, Indra is the arm of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Surya, the sun, is the eye. Thus, Maharaj Bharat considered that the oblations offered to different demigods were actually offered unto the different limbs of Lord Vasudev. So, anybody wants to repeat a little bit the essence of this verse? See if we can. Yeah, Abala? Wow, beautiful. Thank you. That's very beautiful. Thank you very much. So, I will read the purport because it's a kind of long, so I will stop a little bit in between and then we can discuss parts of that have been reading. And first of all, I would like to ask for the blessings of the Vaishnavas. Because so that in that way I may be of value to your personal life, what I'm saying, that it might be value for your personal life. So ask for your blessings. Om Ajnana Timrandasya Gananjana Salakaya Saksur unmilitam dena tasmai sri gurve namaha nama om vishnu padaya krishna pastaya bhutale simate niranjana swami timanamine nama om vishnu padaya krishna pastaya bhutale simate bhakti vedanta swami itinamine namaste sarasvati deve gauravani prasarine nirvisesa sunyavadi pashishade satarine Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaisnavebhyo namo namaha Tai Sri Krishna Caitanya Prabho Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I would like to be this like an interactive class. I mean, I'm giving a class here since I don't know how many years, so I'm kind of a little nervous, so I like to have your supports. So, okay, so first I will read the first part of the purports. After performing the preliminaries of various sacrifices, Maharaj Bharata offered the results in the name of religion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev. In other words, he performed all the yajñas for the satisfaction of Lord Vasudev, Krishna. Maharaj Bharat thought that since the demigods were different parts of Vasudev's body, he controls those who are explained in the Vedic mantras. By thinking in this way, Maharaj Bharat was freed from all material contamination, such as attachment, lust, and greed. When the priests were about to offer the sacrificial ingredients into the fire, Maharaj Bharat expertly understood how the offering made to different demigods was simply an offering to the different limbs of the Lord. For instance, Indra is the arm of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Surya the eye, the sun is the eye, and Maharaj Bharat considered that the oblations offered to different demigods were actually offered unto the different limbs of the Lord. I'm sorry, this is again the verse. Now I'm going to start with the purports. Let's see. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead says that as long as one does not develop the pure devotional service of Sravanam, Kirtanam, hearing and chanting, one must carry out his prescribed duties. This is from, is we're quoting the verse in Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.23, which is by Prahlad Maharaj. And he said that hearing and chanting about the transcendental holy names, form, qualities, paraphernalia, and pastimes of Lord Vishnu, remembering them, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, offering the Lord respectful worship with 16 types of paraphernalia, offering prayers to the Lord, becoming his servant, considering the Lord one's best friend, and surrendering everything unto him, in other words, serving him with the body, mind, and words. These nine processes are accepted as pure devotional service. One has dedicated his life to the service of Krishna through these nine methods should be understood to be the most learned person, for he has acquired complete knowledge. So since Bharat Maharaj was a great devotee, one may ask why he performed so many sacrifices that are actually meant for karmis. The fact is that he was simply following the orders of Vasudev. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharma Prichena Mam Ikam Saranam Vraja, abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. Bhagavad Gita 18.66. So whatever we do, we should constantly remember Vasudev. People are generally addicted to offering obeisances to various demigods, but Bharat Maharaj simply wanted to please Lord Vasudev. So this is kind of a point that we could discuss. One of the points here is that it looked like for what Bharat Maharaj was doing, it was actually meant for karmis. But his consciousness was focused on the Supreme Lord, and he saw it totally as a service to Lord Krishna, and he didn't do it for material benefits. So sometimes devotees, we also have to do service that looks like it's a karmic job or a karmic service, but actually, dependent on our right consciousness, everything can be used in Krishna service. So it's all devotional service in that way. Of course, it's very important to see what is our motivation when we do this service. If we have a job, is it our motivation to make some money so we can be comfortable and peaceful in our life and have everything we need? Or is our job to maintain, is it just because we want to maintain ourselves, because we want to really serve Krishna and please Krishna? So our consciousness, how we do service, is actually a very significant point. I mean, significant. It's just a point that we can look at for ourselves. So how does this relate to us when we are worshipping Lord Krishna? This verse, actually, this part of the purport. So people worship demigods for material benefits, but how do we, what is our motivation when we worship Lord Krishna? We have motivated devotional service, and until we are pure and we have pure, no personal desires, only pleasing Krishna, then it's pure devotional service. And now I just wanted to see this kind of ask devotees, what would you suggest that might be some of the motivations of a devotee who is not entirely pure in serving Krishna? What could be the motivations? Recognition or so many different motivations? So we can look at ourselves, and don't have to do it personally for yourself, but just kind of, if anybody wants to share. Yeah, Javala? Right, that's one of mine sometimes. When I joined Krishna Consciousness, I was very distressed, so this was a good motivation. Yeah. One who has fear of getting in trouble outside, that's a good motivation. Excuse me? Inside here. You become miserable. Okay, all right. That's a good one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Excuse me? All right, serving Krishna for material benefits, because when you serve him, he will reciprocate with your prayers, and you want to have some material benefits, and he will help you to find, to get money, or find a job, or have a nice wife. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. So he was motivated by not wanting to have this kind of a job. Okay. Right. Well, thank you for sharing, everybody. So that's actually different things we could kind of look at in ourselves, if how we are serving Krishna, what is our motivation, because ultimately we want to choose for Krishna, and these motivations are actually in the way, in the sense of our devotional service. It doesn't mean that having these motivations are actually discouraging for us, because we will get purified, Krishna will help us in that sense, but sometimes, you know, he's going to show us different ways to purify this motivation. I had this experience in America. My motivation, I was doing this service there, and in the beginning I was like, for recognition, of course. There was a lot of things that I was doing, and nobody recognized me for a long time, for many years. And then I was like, at a certain point I just gave it up. Krishna just I didn't care about it anymore. And then after that, you got recognized. I mean, it's just, Krishna says, okay, you have learned that lesson. And then suddenly, right, I gave up the desire for recognition. And after that, suddenly everybody starts to understand what I'm doing there. So it was, Krishna was just, purifying me, most probably, for that desire. Another desire is, being controlled. And, Krishna has many ways to help me to understand I'm not in control and give up my attachment to the results. So there's a lot of different desires that we have, desire to live in a mode of goodness or for liberation. So, yeah, ultimately we have to give up all these desires and serve Krishna purely. And the purification is going on for us. Automatically Krishna will take care of that, but still it's nice for us to also understand our motivations sometimes, to understand that. Okay, so I will go further with the next part of the verse, this purport. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 5:29, Bhoktaram yakyatapasam sarvaloka mahesvaram suridam sarvabhutanam yatvamam shantim richati. A person in full consciousness of me, knowing me to be the ultimate beneficiary of all sacrifices and austerities, the Supreme Lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, attains peace from the pangs of material miseries. So a yajna may be carried out to satisfy a particular demigod, but when the yajna is offered to the yajna purush, Narayan, the demigods are satisfied. The purpose of performing different yajnas is to satisfy the Supreme Lord. One may perform them in the name of different demigods or directly. If we directly offer oblations to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the demigods are automatically satisfied. If we water the root of a tree, the branches, twigs, fruits and flowers are automatically satisfied. When one offers sacrifices to different demigods, one should remember that that demigods are simply parts of the body of the Supreme. If we worship the hand of a person, we intend to satisfy the person himself. If we massage a person's legs, we do not really serve the legs, but the person who possesses the legs. All the demigods are different parts of the Lord, and if we offer service to them, we actually serve the Lord himself. Demigod worship is mentioned in Brahma Samhita, but actually the shlokas advocate worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda. For instance, worship of the goddess Durga is mentioned this in this way in the Brahma Samhita. Sristi Stiti Pralaya Sadhana Sakti Reka Chaye Vayasya Bhuvanani Vibharti Durga Icha Nurupam Abhiyasya Chasesta Techa Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Following the orders of Sri Krishna, the goddess Durga creates, maintains and annihilates. Sri Krishna also confirms this statement in Bhagavad Gita. Maya jaksena prakriti suyate characharam. This material nature is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, and it is producing all moving and unmoving beings. We should worship the demigods in that spirit. Because the goddess Durga satisfies Krishna, we should therefore offer respects to goddess Durga. Because Lord Shiva is nothing but Krishna's functional body, we should therefore offer respects to Lord Shiva. Similarly, we should offer respects to Brahma, Agni and Surya. There are many offerings to different demigods, and one should always remember that these offerings are usually meant to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bharat Maharaj did not aspire to receive some benediction from demigods. His aim was to please the Supreme Lord. In the Mahabharata, among the thousand names of Vishnu, it is said Yajna, Bhuk, Yajna, Krit, Yajna. The enjoyer of Yajna, the performer of Yajna, and Yajna itself are the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord is the performer of everything, but out of ignorance, the living entity thinks that he is the actor. As long as we think we are the actors, we bring about karma bandha, bondage to activity. If we act for yajna, for Krishna, there is no karma bandha. Yajyartat karma no nyatra lokayam karma bandha. In the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, verse 9, work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed, otherwise work binds one to this material world. So again, for us Westerners, demigod worship is actually not an issue if we don't think about worshiping the demigods. But we can think about who are we trying to satisfy besides Krishna, and why are we doing that? Like, what is, like, we have family members, we have our wife and husband and children, we have a boss, but do we always remember that they are part and parcels and of Krishna? Like Bharat Maharaj, he was remembering that the demigods are Lord Krishna's parts. Or is there other motivations, how we please our family members? I just wanted to throw that out, why we please them. Yeah. All right, so just to make it, to enjoy yourself and make it cozy for yourself. Mm-hmm. That's, and the other person. It's a little bit self-centered. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, here the question is about, again, like the demigod worshippers, they worship Lord, they worship the demigods, so for some with motivations. So I'm just kind of asking about our motivations that we have. Instead of pleasing the Lord, we are sometimes trying to please our wife or her husband or children. But what is our motivation behind that, pleasing them? Or our boss? Like, for example, I have my mother. I mean, I'm pleasing her because she's giving me, you know, presents, for example. Instead of seeing her as Krishna, I mean, this is very selfish motivation. Of course, I love my mother, but, you know, if I don't make her happy, she's not going to, you know, support me. So it's kind of a motivation for me, of course. So, like, instead of pleasing my mother with the motivation, she's a part and parcel of Krishna, and I want to unconditional love, serve her and please her, because she's Krishna's part and parcel, and I can engage her in Krishna's service. I'm serving her because I have some selfish motives. Yeah, instead of seeing her as Krishna's servant, and it's subtle, you know. I'm not conscious about it, but when I'm reading this, I suddenly become conscious. Yeah, that's why I'm so trying to please her. So we can do that in any way, many ways. Like, we please our boss because he's giving us money, we have a job, but instead of seeing him, okay, we're pleasing our boss because he is serving, helping us to serve Krishna and maintaining us in that way, and just seeing it in that sense. So you understand what I'm talking about? So I'm just trying to go a little deeper. Yeah. But I think that's maybe different in the sense that ultimately they want to have Krishna as their reach Krishna through the demigods and please Krishna. I think that's maybe different consciousness than when you worship Lord Ganesh, because Lord Ganesh, of course, he wants you to, he takes away obstacles so you can worship Lord Krishna. So, but that's not worshipping the demigod for material benefits. Huh? You think it is? Okay. Anybody wants to make a comment about that, maybe? Rasamangala Prabhu? Anybody? Yes, Javada. It's beautiful, yeah. Right, it's just, yeah, again, you're a consciousness. Why are you doing it? You always have to look at your motivations and acknowledge it. It's not like you have to feel like you know something bad about you. It's better to just acknowledge it, and then in that way you can move forward. But if you don't see it, and then you kind of practicing devotional service and you don't acknowledge it for yourself, then sometimes you just do something continuously for years, and after a while Krishna is just showing it to you in a kind of a heavy way. So but that's also like part of ultimately you want to connect closer to Krishna, and so the goal is Krishna in that sense, huh? Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, yeah. That's another point, just to see if what is your motivation behind it. If you want to worship Lord Shiva, for what kind of reasons your motivation is. So. Yeah, when you get desperate, sometimes Krishna is, you know, many times the devotee is very poor, and you know, it's kind of hard, and so they can think that demigods might help them financially, right? Yeah. Very good point, yeah. That's a beautiful point. And actually in this verse, that's actually one of the points that Krishna is saying, that we have to respect, or Prabhupada, we have to give respect to the son and to the servants of Krishna, because they are limbs of his body. So we shouldn't be depicting them and see them as servants that are not just material demigod worshipping. As being demigod worshippers, when we respect the demigods, we just have to see them in relation to Krishna. That's, yeah. But then, yeah, like you said, then sometimes we, out of desperate, we try to do it for material benefits. So that's another consciousness. So there's always this fine line between our consciousness. Where do we do it for? Do we do it for our own personal pleasure or satisfaction, or do we do it really in connection with Krishna? This is always a fine line. It's very difficult sometimes to really see it in ourselves as well. This motivation is, yeah. That's what he was doing. That's a good point. Very nice point. Very good, yeah. Very strong, good point to understand this distinction, why he was doing it out of duty to serve Lord Krishna and to respect the demigods that are servants of Lord Krishna and see it all as a whole, because it was his duty as a king to do that. But when he wasn't a king anymore, he wasn't doing it anymore. Yeah, did you? Right, that's true. But the thing is, Krishna wants us to really give our heart to him, and so he's just, you know, sometimes giving us different tests in order for us to get purified from these material desires. So for us to look at them, you know, and already work on them, that would be, you know, helping us. With the material desires, yeah, sure. And he will fulfill your desires. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Yeah, that's a good point, Karuna. Worshipping Krishna with your material desires. And then Krishna will take care of them. Yeah. In so many heavy ways. I mean, I've had a lot of experience about that. So it's, yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah. 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 Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. That's a good point. Sounds wonderful. Part of just part of life that we need to take practical way of taking care of things. Right. Yeah. Yeah, use it all in Krishna's service. I mean, you can't be artificially engaged in devotional service and give up, you know, these desires, because then you get frustrated and then you get, you can't function properly. Find a balance. Yeah? It's also important. Find a balance in our devotional service. Because many times we are too much like, okay, artificially giving it up, and then we don't make it. It happens a lot too. Mm-mm. Yeah. Wow, it's a complicated subject matter. Gosh. Sorry about that. Okay. So, so then, let's see, the next part of the verse is, so following the instructions of Bharat Maharaj, we should act not for our personal satisfaction, but for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Bhagavad Gita 17:28, it is also stated, demigods are simply parts... It's stated, asradaya utam datam tapastatam kritam chayat asat iti uchyate parta nacha tat precha no iha. Sacrifices, austerities and charities performed without faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead are non-permanent. Regardless of whatever rituals are performed, they are called asat, non-permanent. They are therefore useless both in this life and in the next. So this is another point, that we are serving Krishna, and how much faith do we have that he is there to accept our service? And if we do not have that complete faith, does that mean that our service is asat? That's what is said here, in sense that without faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, sacrifice, austerities and charities are non-permanent. But we as devotees, speaking for myself, I don't have like always full faith that Krishna is, you know, accepting my service, or that Krishna is present for me. And of course I know that continuing serving in association of devotees, then, you know, you develop your faith and your faith will grow. So that's one reason to serve Krishna, and hopefully my faith will become bigger, growing. And then also another possibility to grow my faith is to be more serious in the process of devotional service of hearing and chanting. But in this verse it says, without faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then whatever we perform is non-permanent. So I was just wondering what somebody else wants to say something here. Kind of a proof that we don't have faith, and then sometimes Krishna shows us that he's really there and hearing us. Yeah, but this point here is also speaking about that when we don't have faith, our devotional service is non-permanent. It's like not permanent, it's not really accepted if we don't have faith. That's what I get from this verse. So I'm not sure about that point. How do you see that? That's why I'm kind of wondering. The question was that we are serving Lord Krishna, but if in this verse it says without faith, performing devotional service without faith, it's non-permanent. Regardless of whatever rituals you are performed, it is non-permanent. It's asat. They are just useless in this life. And we don't have... So if you have no faith to serve Krishna, is that useless? Like... But I guess... that's... We're all on the way, on the path of devotional service, developing faith. So even if we don't have faith, the process will bring us towards that. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. Right. So some faith must be there. So that doesn't has to do with the us when we don't have any faith, is this verse most probably. So okay, now let's go to the next part. So kings like Maharaj Ambarish and many other Rajarsis who were pure devotees of the Lord simply passed their time in the service of the Supreme Lord. When a pure devotee executes some service through the agency of another person, he should not be criticized, for his activities are meant for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. A devotee may have a priest perform some karma kanda, and the priest may not be a pure Vaisnava, but because the devotee wants to please the Supreme Lord, he should not be criticized. So here's like an example how Prabhupada was engaging so many impure persons in activities of devotional service. And like even rituals like fire sacrifices, and he was criticized for that by his godbrothers and others in India. But that doesn't mean Prabhupada is not pure. So this verse is kind of like making us aware also that when we engage other people, even they are not devotees, and you engage them in devotional service, it doesn't mean that you are doing something wrong. It's you know, we shouldn't get criticized for that. So it's part of the. Part of devotional service, to engage people in devotional service. So the Lord is the performer of everything, but out of ignorance the living entity thinks that he is the actor. As long as we think we are the actors, we bring about karma bandha, bondage to activity. If we act for yagya, for Krishna, there is no karma bandha. Yagyartat karma no ni. Oh, sorry, yeah, previous place, sorry. So the word, let's see, where are we now? Okay, yeah, so a devotee should not be criticized when he engages impure, like a priest that is not a devotee. And so the word apurva is very significant. The resultant actions of karma are called apurva. When we act piously or impiously, immediate results do not ensue. So we therefore wait for the results, which are called apurva. The results are manifest in the future, even when the smartas accept this apurva. So pure devotees simply act for the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore the results of their activities are spiritual or permanent. They are not like those of the karmis, which are non-permanent. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Gata sangasya muktasya jnana vastista setasa yagya charata karma samagram travilyate. The work of a man who is unattached to the modes of material nature and who is fully situated in transcendental knowledge merges entirely into transcendence. A devotee is always free from material contamination. He is fully satisfied, situated in knowledge, and therefore his sacrifices are intended for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the last point that I was thinking about is that by serving a pure devotee like Srila Prabhupada, we can become pure. And even it may take longer than we would like, so many people actually who seem to be so tamasic, making advancement by serving a pure devotee, they make advancement. So even if we are not so pure, or we try to engage people in devotional service, we are not pure. Krishna consciousness seems so far away for us in that way, but just serving the pure devotee actually is helping us to become pure. And that's kind of an answer to all our discussion maybe today also, because we talking about, we have all these material desires, and it's good to look at them and what our motivations are, and at the same time serving a pure devotee is going to help us to actually get purified and become a pure devotee ultimately. So that's ultimately our main shelter and hope in Krishna consciousness, that the pure devotee is going to purify us and from all these material desires by serving him sincerely. And we have to have faith and also patience. And when I was in America, there was so many people, they looked so tamasic and they looked so like kind of hopeless for them to become a devotee or to become purified. But just by engaging them in eating prasadam and chanting kirtan, it's amazing how people have been changed just by these pure activities. And then slowly they can hear knowledge too. And there's a lot of people there actually that were slowly becoming vegetarian or getting some realizations that they would never have before. So this process actually works ultimately. And we might not see it for ourselves because it goes a little slow, but if you see it with people that are just starting, you can see it's more easy actually how they ultimately, for us maybe it's more subtle, many subtle desires that are still we have to work out. And because we are already kind of engaged in not eating meat and we follow the regulative principles, which they don't, but they actually, you can see how they already get purified just by eating a lot of prasadam and kirtan. So what about us, actually? So anybody has some more comments about it? Yeah? Because there's not this initial taste for it. Well, pure devotee is somebody who's just unmotivated in his devotional service. He's totally purely serving Krishna without any motivations other than pleasing Krishna, like Prabhupada was. He just had no material motivations at all, subtly or grossly or whatever. He had just was purely, intimately serving Krishna and had no desire for recognition or desire for material enjoyment, serving. So that's, you know, a pure devotee. But we are all like covered pure devotees. I mean, we all have this other conditioning that is covering us. And so we need to like peel it off constantly, you know. And that's can be peeled off by engaging in service to a pure devotee, because he is kind of like connecting us to the Guru Parampara and then Krishna, that kind of helps us to get purified and also become pure and give up these motivations and ultimately think, oh Krishna, you're the only one, I can't, you know, I don't want anything else anymore. That's sometimes devotees, they get there in that space because they tried everything and everything failed or nothing is working, and they get frustrated and finally they really surrender and they want to give up everything and just serve Krishna. I mean, you know, and then we get into that consciousness of pure devotional service ultimately, but we are not there yet. So is that what you were asking? Yeah.
That's a good point, yeah.
By serving the devotees. Yeah. Yeah, that, and now and I get a little bit more the question that you asked now. I understand by Rasamanaplu. Yeah, that Prabhupada said, we're all pure devotees, and what is the distinction between us and then a pure devotee, right? That was your question. A little bit. I didn't get that, but now I understand when I got the answer from Rasamangala Prabhu. Yeah. Yeah. So make a distinction between the different Nishta Adhikari, Kanishta Adhikari, or different levels of devotees. Is that what you're talking about? Yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much. That's a good point. Thank you for listening to me patiently. Thank you. And participating. That was really good. Very nice for me to give this class support of you. Thank you. Okay, so I guess so.
Thank you.